express itself. They're doing it on the moon, y'all. In the jungle, too. Everybody on the floor now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody on the floor. Happy last Friday of July, literally the last day of the month, and welcome to Express Yourself, where creativity and conversation collide. We're broadcasting live from the heart of the Carbondale Creative District, and I'm your host, Amy Kimberly. We have a really fun show lined up for you today. I started early this morning with Nelson Odom and Harley Ellis and members of the Band of Heathens in an interview party at 8 a.m. So that'll take a good portion of the show up. And we will also talk with Ginger Kennington from the Wheeler Opera House, who'll fill us in on all the great entertainment coming our way. So don't touch that dial. All right. Yay. We made it through another week. Mountain Fair was fantastic last week. Thanks to everyone who put that on. And Ginger, are you here?
I am. Hi, Amy. How you doing?
I'm doing so good. Ginger, you are the box office supervisor with the Wheeler Opera House?
That's correct.
And I hear you're an all-round music lover, and we have some some great music coming our way. So tell us, what's happening?
So we have a new traffic jam series that's going to be going on at the Wheeler Opera House in partnership with the City of Aspen Transportation Department. And this is just sort of a way to get you out of the traffic so you don't have to jump right in your car after you get off of work. And you can come in and check out some free music. It's absolutely free. You just have to RSVP. We're also going to be giving light snacks out. And you can come to the bar and purchase drinks as well. This is going to be happening Monday through Thursday this week, 4:30 to 6 o'clock. It's also happening next week with a different band. This week, we did have Bandits on the Run, but this week it's going to be Drunken Hearts. Mm-hmm. Bandits on the Run has canceled, and Drunken Hearts has come back. I'm sure you've seen them.
Yeah.
They are Colorado-based. I believe they're from Boulder.
Yeah.
Right?
I think they're
Boulder.
They're
Americana country rock, yeah. I know he's the guy who was the founder for Harmony Fest.
That's right. Andrew McConathy. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And they're a great band. I've seen them a bunch of times. But that's going to be August 3rd through the 6th. So it's Monday through Thursday, 4:30 to 6. And then next week, we have a band called Larry and Joe. And it's also going to be Monday through Thursday, 4:30 to 6. And they are Venezuelan musicians, and I'm trying to think of what they call themselves. It's a really interesting band. If you get the chance to see them,
they call Latin Grass.
Latin Grass. Thank you. I was like, oh, I can't think of anything.
Yeah,
it sounds so fun. It's harp and banjo, fiddle. That sounds like a really fun show as well. And again, these shows are all completely free. You just have to sign up, and it's at WheelerOperaHouse.com. And it's in our vault, which is up in the bar lobby, and it's a real intimate venue up there. So if you've got a chance to see it on our small stage up there, it's fantastic.
Well, it's a great idea. Now, how did this come about?
Well, you know, there's so much traffic that's going on in Main Street, and this is sort of a way. We have a lot of construction going on these next 2 weeks as well. And this is the city's way to get everybody to just kind of hang out after work and stay in town and check out some art. We're not the only people doing this that's going on throughout the town. But it's a really neat event. And, you know, the Wheeler's here for the community, and so we're really, really want to encourage everybody to come in to watch the shows.
Well, I bet it's pretty cool for the musicians because it's almost like a residency for them as well. They get to hang out in Aspen for 3 or 4 nights and you know, hike maybe in the day or raft or do all the fun things you can do. And then they get to play. What a great gig.
Yeah, no kidding. You get to stay for a couple of days. It's always nice for a musician. I always like that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So go to the same shows.
It's interesting. Did the City of Aspen Transportation Department approach you guys about this idea, or did you guys approach them, or was it just like through conversation? How'd that happen?
You know, this is something that they've been working on throughout the city. And so there's all sorts of different venues that are doing things to keep people in town. You know, the traffic's just gotten so backed up that it's hard to get in and out of town. And it's a way better to sit back and enjoy art. And, you know, and sometimes when you're not living in Aspen and you're moving down Valley, you don't want to come back up. And we all get that, you know, to make that decision to just stay for an art exhibit. So we made them really early. So they start at 4:30.
That's great.
Which is a great time. Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. And what else is coming up at the Wheeler?
Oh, we have so many great things coming up. The thing I'm most excited for is the Wooten Brothers are coming in December.
Oh, really? Oh, I will definitely have to come. I'm, they're old buddies of mine. Fabulous.
I know. I'm so excited for that show. I'm excited for the comedians as well. We've got Dimitri Martin coming. Mm-hmm. We've had him before. He's a really fun comedian. We also have Craig Robinson coming and Roy Wood Jr. from The Daily Show.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just talking about old Roy. I was like, what happened to him? Is he? We don't get to see him as much on The Daily Show. That's
He's on
fabulous.
Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, a lot of what you're doing right now is focusing on the other arts because there is so much music out there. So besides this foray of the traffic jams, you're showing a lot of documentaries and opera and stuff like that, comedians.
And kids programming as well. We have a lot of family programming going on throughout the year. The one that's really big is Blippi. That one's been extremely popular. We have, but the one I'm also excited for is we've got the Greg Allman movie coming in September.
Yeah.
And that's on September 2nd.
And that's a documentary, correct?
Yeah, that's a documentary. Yeah, exactly. I'm really looking forward to it. So I was excited to see that we had it coming.
Fabulous.
But yeah, we have a little of everything. Also, when you were talking about documentaries, we have that Friedel film coming back for Friedel Pfeiffer, and that's going to be in December as well. It was so popular last time, it sold out immediately, and so we have 2 programs coming in December for everybody.
Wow, I know. It's hard to think about December, but you guys have to because it's right around the corner. Oh, gosh. Well, Ginger, I think maybe you should call in more often to the show. We'll have to keep in touch and, you know, keep the scoop on what's happening up there at the Wheeler. It's such a beautiful venue. And every time I go, I see lots and lots of Down Valley folks up there.
It is, you know, and to tell you the truth, it's mostly Carbondale. That's why we like talking with you all the time. You know, I'm like, I go down there all the time for my community events as well. I mean, Mountain Fair, of course, has always been my favorite festival since I was a child. But also, Amy, my favorite festival is Palisade, and I had such a fun time this year.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that is so great because that's what I heard. I was at Clay Street Unit last night. And
I was too. It was so fantastic, wasn't it?
It was. And so I asked Josh about her and he goes, you know her. She comes to Palisade. She loves music. So
last night they played the last Revel, the song Engine Trouble. And the first time I'd seen that was at Palisade a couple of years ago. They were a great band.
Oh, that is so good. Yeah, the one guy in the band is from the Fretliners, the fiddle player, and then he joined up with Clay Street. And what a fun night that was.
It was so fun. Yeah. It's been a great summer of music for sure.
Yeah. What else are you excited about
My next show is over at Belly Up for Billy Failings from the Billy Strings Band.
Ooh, see.
Very excited about that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I've got Fisha Dix and Billy Strings at in Denver. Very looking forward.
I hate to admit it, but I have not seen Billy Strings yet. But I know it's in my future. It's something to look forward to. Well, thank you so much.
And then you're going to become obsessed.
Well, that's what I hear. I know part of me was like, should I go on Nugs and just, you know, dip my toe in? Or should I just wait till I get the full experience live, you know?
You're going to love it.
Oh, I
can't. We're trying to, you know, fill our hole for the dead, so.
True. And just, I'm going to leave everyone with this. I just saw that NPR is going to be doing 2 weeks of stories around the Grateful Dead. And if you were Deadhead, there's a number that you can call and record your story. And then it might get played. So, hey, you Deadheads, check it out, NPR.org, and maybe your story will be on.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks, Amy, so much.
Well, thanks for calling in, and we'll talk again.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that was fun, and I think we'll play a little Drunken Heart Sprite now. Get a little taste of them. Here you go, Falling Stars. You're tuned in to KDNK. Express yourself.
Nothing left to say the day they took your brother away. Locked him up throughout the key. Left you crying on my shoulder. And your mama fell so hard. Thought her world would fall apart. Lost her son but found her heart. I guess nobody told her. We're all just falling stars. Living fast, I am hard. Strong, burning bright. Reaching out across the night. Dancing in and out of sight. And your daddy said okay, but not to take you far away. All the promises I made broke and fell apart. Gained your trust and took your hand. Started up this rock and roll band. I'm a victim of circumstance. Wish I'd have known from the start. We're all just falling stars. Living fast, dying hard. Burning strong. Outside.
little Drunken Hearts coming our way for free up at the Wheeler Opera House, August 3rd through 6th, 4:30 to 6 p.m. That's awesome. Traffic Jams is the program up there. All right. Well, I tell you, my day started early, 8 a.m., with Nelson Odom and Harley Ellis and Ed and Gordy from the band Heathens. Not many musicians like to be interviewed at that time of the day, but the Heathens, gotta give it to them. Band of Heathens are coming to Tekaw on the 6th. And here's our interview. You will hear the voices of me and Harley and Nelson. We're all in there on this interview. So I hope you do enjoy. Here we go. We are here with Ed Jurdy and Gordy Quist of Band of Heathens and Harley Ellis, opening act for the show at Tekaw, August 6th. That's a Thursday. Guys, it's been a couple years, so it's good to have you back. How's things?
Oh, things are great. We are really looking forward to getting out of the Texas heat and coming back to the mountains, to our home away from home there. So we're looking forward to it.
And you are promoting your latest album, Countrysides.
We're kind of celebrating 20 years as a band, and this record, Countrysides, is it's kind of our statement piece, our celebration for this kind of crazy marker that it's kind of hard to believe that we've been doing this for 20 years.
That's right. And a lot of it you've really done on your term, which is so important and also hard to do in the music biz. How have you been navigating that?
Well, I think, you know, Amy, I think anyone that has attempted a career in the music business can attest to the degree of difficulty. You know, it's like scaling Mount Everest or something in some kind of, in a metaphorical sense. But I think for us, you know, it just, doing it independently just made the most sense. I think we all had an idea of getting into rock and roll and getting into a band. What that was really about was about expression and about, you know, kind of promoting your ideas freely without anyone telling you what to do or how to dress or how to act. So, it was just kind of a natural extension, I think, for us to, you know, to kind of run things, the best we could. Obviously, we've had a lot of help, a lot of friends, a lot of support, family, and, you know, great management, great booking agents, great colleagues, great people we work with. But yeah, I mean, to your point, I think we kind of always felt okay with the idea that we would live and die by our decisions that we made.
That's great. We have now, Nelson has joined us here.
It's a reunion.
It's a reunion. Yeah,
it's a regular reunion. And to your point, we did feel like locals for a while. I did attempt to get my Colorado resident card, but I know there's been a backlash against interlopers moving out to the Front Range into the frontier. You guys have had enough people coming, so they rejected my application. I tried.
Well, it seems like you guys also are feeling the ways of the United States these days and what's happening, and you've been writing some songs that really do address the immigrant situation. I'd be curious as to what's the inspiration for those songs, Strangers Here and Mexican Coke.
Well, I think for us, we've always viewed music as a great uniting force. And in our country, I think we need that. It's a real privilege to be able to be doing this at this time, I think, because we're so divided. And for us, like on the political side of things, being fairly disgusted with all sides of politics and just the nature of things. But I think we tend to look more towards the human stories and humanity. And I think in all of the immigrant issues today, I think the thing that I hope we can all look to is people, and that, you know, all of us came from somewhere. We all have immigrant stories in this country. My people came from Sweden in the late 1800s, escaping a famine, hoping to get a better life. And my grandmother on the other side came from Spain in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s. So it's, for us, those songs kind of came from this idea of like, the American dream is something that we hope it's still a thing that is attainable and exists. And we're, for us, it's always about treating people with dignity and with respect. And you know, frankly, just like being able to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and being grateful for the sacrifice that people, our ancestors before us made to get here, and being able to see ourselves in other people.
Morning, fellas.
Good morning, Nelson.
So I was thinking, like, when you guys make a record, which you've done pretty recently, like, you're probably trying to express yourself, hope your people, your fans like it, and make money. So, like, when the record comes out, like, how do you know if that's working? Like, what do you look for, and how do you tell if, you know, how do you be happy?
That's a good question, Nelson. I think... For me, I think it's kind of twofold things, right? I think the art of writing, recording, and creating a record is, that's a victory in and of itself. And I think Gordy can attest to this. After doing this for as long as we have, you become grateful that the material continues to come, and that the collaborative process of making this piece of art and putting it out into the world can happen. That's incredibly satisfying in and of itself. And then the other part of it is, to your point, Nelson, is kind of the business part. I mean, we certainly, you know, you hope that when you make music, it resonates with people. I think that's the idea of sharing art, is your attempt to try to connect with other people. So I think, to answer your question specifically to this record, I think we felt really good about it, just as far as the response we've gotten from people, you know, anecdotally, and then kind of on a larger scale, just in terms of how the record's been received at radio and press and stuff like that.
So when it first comes out, are you like looking at like Spotify spins, or like just chat, like people reaching back out to you, or like what are the signs that people are awake and jumping up and down?
I think a little bit of all of that. I think, you know, I think for us, there's always a balance of being, you know, there's an analytical element to this business, but also there's an artistic element to it. So it's like, yes, we are looking at Spotify numbers. We're talking to our team about strategies about how we're going to promote our record, promote our tours. At the same time, you know, it's a bit of a dangerous game to attach the success of the artistic attempt to the commercial success of it. You know what I mean? So that's why, as I mentioned, you have to use both sides of your brain when looking at the whole thing, I think, here, at least for me.
Have you ever been really surprised? Like, or do you sort of know what's a really great song that is going to like get a lot of spins? Or have you been just like surprised sometimes, like a song just sort of came out of nowhere and took off?
I think both things are true. I think, you know, sometimes you have a gut feeling, and I'd say a lot of times that's fairly accurate, but also, I think some of the biggest success sometimes is a complete surprise and kind of comes out of the blue. The radio single on this album almost didn't make the album. And that's a story that almost every band can tell. But that is actually true on this case. But, you know, Nelson, I think there's like two hats we wear. Like I was saying, like there's the business, there's the record label, because we do own the mechanism that puts out the records. We're in charge of making these decisions with our management and who we hire to work these records. We're involved in all of that stuff. But, and so we do have to look at the analytics, and we do have to look at what's working, what's not, because that's kind of our job as label owners. But as artists, when we're writing songs and when we're recording songs, I try honestly to separate myself from that and really just like, the only barometer I'm thinking about and measuring is like, do I like this? Do I think this is cool? Is this exciting to me? If so, let's keep going. If I don't like it, let's get it to somewhere I like it. Because ultimately that's the only way you're able to keep doing this for 20 years is by being really passionate and into what you're actually making.
To that question, how does your process work? I mean, you and Ed have been, steering the ship for 20 years. Has your process changed through those years as even the music business, the world has changed, or is it there are definite go-tos that are always there between you two?
Our process, there's a lot of writing individually. Ed and I do, we don't live in the same city, so we do a lot of writing individually. And then I think we have really learned how to work well together, editing each other kind of in pre-production. And, you know, and we get a batch of songs and then we show up at the studio. Trevor, our keyboard player, usually is in on kind of hearing the demos ahead of time and giving some feedback. But like, for the most part, the band, the rhythm section has not usually heard any songs. And so we like to kind of come into the studio totally fresh and with no preconceived notions of what something needs to be. And I think Ed and I try to thread the needle of following our instincts from when we wrote the song and what we think it should be, but then also being wide open to anybody's ideas and letting the song go where it wants to go. So I don't know, it's a mysterious process and it's still fun and exciting for us. And, but again, there's also kind of no formulas. We do try to keep it wide open and fresh.
I think, for me, being a fly on the wall with you guys, through several of those recording processes, making records with you guys, I saw exactly that. And it was the old school way of making records. Come in the studio, put down your coffee, get to work, and see those songs come to life in real time and spitballing off each other. And it was such a cool experience. And going, okay, well, maybe this guitar I thought was the thing for this track, maybe it's not. And going, setting tones and getting things moving, and then all of a sudden it clicks, you know, and everybody's in the game. And it's really cool to be, you know, I've had the pleasure of being a fly on the wall with these guys a couple times, and watching that happen is really special.
Yeah, it's the luxury too that Gordy Wright, you have the recording studio in your house.
It's about 10 minutes from my house.
Uh-huh.
So super, super quick drive. But yes, we are very fortunate. Our buddy George Reef started a studio called The Finishing School. And I've since taken it over. And just we've had, as a band, we've had amazing mentors. And you get the pleasure of getting to work with a lot of different artists making lots of records. And it's fun. It's sometimes I just have to pinch myself. It's, you know, getting to do this all the time is really a privilege.
So do you, let's talk a little bit about some of your collaborations. Worked with Hayes Carl, you've done something with the Ransom Brothers. Does that just happen through conversation, or are you guys like, wow, we really like this guy, we want to record? How did those collaborations come about?
Tuesday Night Supper Club.
Is that it?
No, I think most of that comes from just being around and being, living a life in it, like in this music world. We've been friends with Hayes for 20 something years. And I think that there's not like a marketing plan for the studio or for production. It's all kind of just like people are trying to make cool stuff and make cool art. And we're doing the same thing as a band. And when you're lucky enough to kind of cross paths with somebody and you seem to gel, maybe the vision seems to overlap where the collaboration would add something new and fresh, then we're here for that. And that's, you know, as a band, we've done a bunch of great touring with, on top of making records with them, we also do touring with Hayes. And I think collaboration is the thing that this band has been a great little microcosm for me personally, like the art and beauty of collaboration and surrendering your will to something greater. And I think that even flows out into other artists outside of the band. And that collaboration can oftentimes be something new and fresh and exciting. It keeps you going.
Well, you guys should get a lot of kudos for the Tuesday Night Supper Club.
Nelson's kind of referring to this Tuesday Night Supper Club that we did during the pandemic. And I think, you know, it's been really rewarding. A lot of people have echoed the same sentiment, Nelson, that you're saying. But I would say it was very reciprocal. You know, I think that we needed that as much as people needed it, that we're able to tune in and connect. Again, like all things music related that we're doing here, it's once these songs kind of leave, your mind or your imagination and the band in something like Harley was mentioning, like, you know, the moment when a song finally comes together and it's realized you've gone from like, there's nothing there in one instant to the next instant, there's something that's been created. Then when it goes from that point to sharing it with other people, I think everyone's hope is that, it connects with other people, you know, it's sort of, it makes everyone feel a little less alone in the world, makes everyone feel like there's something that they agree on or can connect in with this music. And I think that's, we've always kind of seen that as our mission. You know, we're sort of, in the traditional way, we're the minstrels. We're wanting to bring the music to the village and connect with everybody and kind of create these bonds, through that.
I think that leads me into a question about Countryside. Getting back to this record you guys have out now, obviously being a heavy touring band, 200 plus shows a year for a long time, little play on words, but you saw a lot of sides of this country, right? And I think that's reflected as well in what we were talking about with Amy earlier and songs that have pieces of what's happening now politically, but also just this country in general. And then the other part of it, Countryside, you guys being a Southern Texas band and having all the different flavors you've always had from Louisiana stuff and traditional Texas stuff, folk stuff, rock and roll. I think, you know, speak to some of the amalgamation there and the leanings that this particular album has.
Yeah, Harley, I think you nailed it. You also forgot about Countryside's, the food, you know, the sides are sometimes the best.
I never forget about the food, Cordy.
No, and honestly, there's a metaphor there too, I think, you know, there's the mainstream, the main course, and we've always kind of been just outside of that. And kind of happily just outside of that, being independent. And yeah, it's a gift. We get to travel around the country, bringing people together with music. And we are fortunate, and I feel like the band is in a great place, and we're as healthy and inspired as we've ever been. The live show is really fun, and we cannot wait to bring it up to the mountains and see y'all.
Awesome. So that is Thursday, August 6th at Taka. And wow, who is opening?
I think I get the pleasure of doing that.
Yeah. This time. Yeah. What a fun night it's going to be.
Always love it. It's like, it is like a homecoming for us. This is one of the first places we ever landed after leaving Texas and felt the love and felt the warmth from the community. So we're always, yeah. It's always great to get back and see some old friends.
Steve's guitars, Mountain Fair,
Marble Fest
gigs. Yeah. Over the last two decades.
Pack three.
That's right. That's right.
Pretty much.
What about the Church of Carbondale?
Yeah, that was Church a good of Carbondale.
One. Yeah, we kept the cross up because it was the heathens. That was awesome. Well, we have come a long way. It's really nice to have Taka now. A lot of the places that you used to have to play were just, we just put together through the venues that were here, and we're maturing a bit in the valley and have some great venues. But I do want to, just before we go, real quick, because we just finished Mountain Fair, and I think one of the epic moments of Mountain Fair that people still talk about was you guys were just starting your set. The energy was so completely high in the greatest sense of the word, and all of a sudden, the electricity melted down. Do you guys remember that?
I think all three of us remember that one.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Harley plays the megaphone.
Yeah.
Exactly. You guys were up there. You just like kept it going. And it's just an epic memory that comes up again and again whenever people are talking about the Mountain Fair.
Sweet Virginia.
Yeah, I was thinking about it this morning, and yeah, we scrambled. Found a megaphone from a cop, and I sat on a monitor and held it up. And these, but I think that was one of the record attendances for a single act too at Mountain Fair at that time. And you know, you could have heard a pin drop. Everybody just got real quiet and were able to hear that honky megaphone.
There's been many epic moments at Mountain Fair. It's it always encourages the highest of highs. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, like the time I was playing in a band and you guys popped in, all you had found the wardrobe stash backstage, and you guys all came up on stage cross-dressed and who knows what. And we were trying to play through it, and it was tough.
I don't know if you're talking about Nelson. I don't think that's probably before cell phone video. So we're going to maybe say that didn't happen.
I have the pictures.
Uh-oh.
We got to wrap this up though, you guys. Cannot wait to see you. Where can people find more about you?
Bandofheathens.com. Anywhere on the interwebs where it says Band of Heathens, Facebook, Instagram, all the places. And you know what to do. Get your tickets, get your dancing shoes on. Harley Ellis and the Band of Heathens. We're going to rip it up. It's going to be a great night at Taka on August 6th.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks,
Amy. Yeah. You're listening to Katie and Gay. We are here with Harley Ellis opening up for the Band of Heathens this Thursday. You also were their tour manager for how many years?
3.5, I think, officially, and then friends for almost 20. We first met in... Well, actually, my dad first heard them at Mountain Fair. Mm. My mom and dad came down to Mountain Fair, did the normal say hi to everybody and grab an Indian fry bread and leave. And on their way out, the Heathens fired up. And my dad turned to my mom and said, I think we should go listen to these guys. They sound pretty good. And I was living in Nashville at the time. And so mom and dad met everybody. And dad called and said, hey, you got to go see these guys if they come through town. And so they came through 3rd and Lindsley at some point in 07, and dad had Colin's number or something. So I got with those guys and went to the show. It was great. I came back here in 08 and they played Belly Up to like 14 people in the middle of the winter and saw them again. And then they came through the end of 09. And they were doing a 10-day Colorado and Utah tour. And we went to some of the first shows and, I was just helping out, doing some sound, and they had a pretty rookie sound guy out with them and were having some technical difficulties. And so I hopped in and I just called work and said, I'm not going to be back for 10 days and hopped in the van and kind of the rest was history. They asked me to come down to Austin and move. If I'd moved down there, I had a job. And so that's exactly what I did. I quit my job here and packed all my stuff in a car and went to Austin sight unseen and those guys helped me land there and we had a lot of fun touring for multiple years. And then even after I wasn't touring with them, I moved on to a couple other Austin vans, Reckless Kelly, Hayes Carl.
Mm-hmm.
But we all still stayed connected. Anytime they were making a record in the studio, they'd call me up and if I was around, then I was around. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, you had to settle down in life and put on your big boy pants, and now you have a family. You're living here in the Valley.
Yep. And came back after 15 years of being away and going everywhere else. And, I have a family and a business here, but playing music as often as I can, still keeping my toes in that water.
Awesome. Well, let's hear a song.
Well, this is a song called Hostage Heart, and it kind of comes from... touring with those guys, we spent a lot of time in New Orleans one year. We did a residency at the Maple Leaf. But this song kind of comes from both traveling and then that vibe of New Orleans. So this is called Hostage Heart. You know, I've always been a traveler. A suitcase packed by the door. But if I stay, that's my own thing. This much I know for sure. You can't pin me down. There's no street signs I've called my own. But if there's a stage in this town, I sing some songs and feel at home. But don't you hold me hostage like you did back then.
This old heart, it is weary, and I could use a friend. I think I might head to New Orleans. The Greyhound just 30 and a dime. And when I get down there to Mason Street, I'm gonna busk away my mind. Is that old Gulf Coast, well, she been calling. I hear my name now on the tides. And all my ghosts, well, they can follow me and sing the chorus in the second line. But don't you hold me hostage like you did back then. This old heart, it is weary, and I could use a friend. Don't you keep me from wandering like you tried back then. It's my soul catches fire, then I'm gone again. It's not about the people or the places or all the miles beneath these feet. It's about what I learned about myself and who I became in between. So don't you hold me hostage like you did back then. This old heart, it is weary, and I could use a friend. This old heart, it is weary, and I could use a friend.
Yay. Oh, great, great, great. Is writing songs part of a practice for you that you continue?
Yeah, absolutely. I started playing guitar when I was 8, and I started taking it seriously about 15. I was in the studio, fly on the wall again in the studio, with my dad in Nashville in Roy Orbison's old studio with a band called Big House out of Bakersfield, where a bunch of his buddies had got a record deal and they were making their second record. And I got to be there for the whole thing and watch that whole process. And it took me from playing guitar in my room and, you know, and starting to write songs and I had written poetry and stuff in school and was really into that. And so I started with this book of poems basically and was like, well, I think some of these can be songs. So that started really early. And then obviously spending 15 years on the road, touring with different bands and again, fly on the wall, surrounded by that creativity. It was always scribbling something down. I wrote two songs the last record I was in with the Heathens. And like, we'd take a break and I'd go to the back porch and was scratching something out, grab a guitar off the shelf, you know. So yeah, it's always a thing. I think you mentioned earlier, you know, I had to put my big boy pants on and have a family and all these different things now that are amazing. And, I always say I write happy, sad songs for happy people. So I don't have a life that has much turmoil or trial in it all that often anymore. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of routine and an amazing wife and little girl. There's so much positivity. I don't know what to write about. So often it is hard. I did a songwriting workshop last summer in Nashville, flew back there and went to Rodney Crowell's songwriting school, which was super, super cool. Again, I didn't come out of that with a song, but I came out of that with a lot of friends and a lot of, I think, validation. You know, I've been writing and performing on my own a lot and just being there. And there was master classes every day, T-Bone Burnett one day, Vince Gill another day, Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers the next day. So getting to hear those guys talk and about their stories, about where songs come from. It's such a weird thing, you know. It's the way somebody says something in passing and you catch it and then it spins into something else. I've got a song called 62 and it came from a conversation I had with the farmer that we lived across the street from when we moved back here in Willits. And he's had that little holdout farm in Willits since 1968. And just in talking to him one day, he said a line. He said, "We got older faster than we wanted to." Mm. And I went, "Nice to see you, Don." I ran home and that one line, you know, became a whole song. And it became one pretty quick. It's my daughter's favorite little song. We were playing the open mic night a couple weeks ago. There's an open mic night every Wednesday in Basalt, in the craft wellness space behind Heather's. Mm. And I helped host that thing periodically. I'm a frequent player there as often as I can, but Porter's always got my daughter's Porter's, and she always gets up there and kind of stands by me for that song. Wow. And Kelly McQuee was through from Trisha's and her own right. She was through, and so we played a show together, and Porter and Kelly really hit it off. She's Auntie Kelly, and Porter really wants to be a singer, and they were having a lot of conversations about that for a couple days. And so I got up and played 62 that night in Kelly and I's show, and Kelly moved her microphone down and Porter came up on stage and, she just sang the song with me. Wow. Just right there. And it was as I'm singing, I'm just blown away. And the song's got a couple of colorful words in it. So to have a little 6.5-year-old belt those out to everybody, that was pretty funny. As they're coming up, I go, "Oh, she's about to say this word." And she's about, you know, and they're not too, you know, they're not, they're still PG-13. But that was a cool experience to bring it home, literally.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, I've heard about the craft nights. I've got to be able to stay up late enough to make them, but I hear they're very magical. It's a great space. And they happen after the Basalt music.
Yeah, they kind of start a little during it. It's hard to truly overlap because of sound ordinance in Basalt. But yeah, it starts about 8 usually and goes till 10, 15, sometimes 11. You know,
whatever. You can
stretch it out. Yeah. But it is a really cool thing. A lot of people have maybe a theory on open mic nights, and it's a lot of amateur people and maybe not the best of music you want to hear or whatever. This one is not like that.
Right.
It is just a collection of people that we've all been playing together, and some of us collaborate, you know, outside of it. But typically every week, you never know what you're going to get. But there definitely is some of that, people coming out and being brave enough to give it a shot for their very first time in front of a crowd, and they're shaky and the support is awesome. Or people that are, you know, touring musicians too that live here, and they'll come through and play a couple songs. So it can be a really, really magical thing. Dree and Adam that put that on, they do a lot of hard work. Tom, who runs the sound and runs film for it, he records everything. And so artists have some stuff to put online and stuff if they get with Tom and get their little snippet, you know. So it's a really, really cool thing. It's totally free. It's donation based only. But the nights are really magical, and I encourage anyone that's around on a Wednesday to come give it a shot.
Well, I think we should go, Nelson. Yeah, I need you to encourage me. So before we go, where can people find your music?
HarleyEllisMusic.com.
Awesome. And can we get one more song as
sure
we
can.
Take
I'll,
this out?
I'll go ahead and play 62 since I talked about it. So.
Awesome.
This farm in 62, and some of my best memories are of you walking barefoot in the grass, giving me sass like you do. Well, we got older than we wanted to, but there's still work to be done. Yeah, there's plenty to do, and you remind me, you ride my ass like you do. And some will go their whole life without knowing a love like ours that just keeps on growing. And I'm thinking on those poor bastards now, 'cause they don't have a love like ours and makes their world go round and round. Oh, but I do. Yeah, I do. Because of you. Well, I got this limp from that heart attack, but you were by my side and you had my back and you healed me. You healed me like you do. You got that leather skin and them weary eyes, but I can still see through to my younger bride every time you smile and you light up like you do. But some will go their whole life without knowing a love like ours that just keeps on growing. And I'm thinking on those poor bastards now, 'cause they don't have a love like ours that makes their world go round and round. Oh, but I do. Yeah, I do. Oh, I do. Yeah, I do. Because of you. Well, we bought this farm in 62, and some of my best memories are of you walking barefoot in the grass.
Ooh, wow. Hard to believe we did all of this before 9 a.m. this morning. A big shout out of thanks to Nelson Odom and Harley and Ed and Gordy. Really, what a great morning it was. So anyway, hope you all enjoyed it. This has been Express Yourself on KDNK. This is Ms. Moon, and you guys just keep your eyes on the skies. Have a great weekend. I am going to go out with a little bit of Band of Heathens from their latest Strangers here. Mm-hmm.
never took a holiday. You work your fingers to the bone. You won't forget the price you pay. Taking in the dead of night. Across the river has a bay. Lived a lifetime doing right. We're all strangers here. In the field.